At this point in his tale, Beelzebub was interrupted by Ahun with the following words. "You're right, Reverence. All your explanations concerning terrestrial art and those three-brained beings who are, so to say, its representatives, and particularly your elucidations about the contemporary comedians or actors, have prompted me to make use of the impressions fixed in my common presence and perceived during my last stay on the surface of the planet Earth in order to give our dear Hasin some good and practical advice." Having said this, Ahun was about to look expectantly at the face of Beelzebub with his usual unblinking gaze, but noticing the familiar smile, always sorrowful, yet kind and indulgent, he turned in some confusion toward Hasin, and without waiting for permission, spoke as follows. "Who knows? Maybe, dear Hasin, you too will one day visit that planet Earth and have to exist among those peculiar three-brained beings who have taken your fancy." And then, still keeping to the style and intonation of Beelzebub himself, he went on. "It is for this very reason that I now wish to initiate you into the results of certain impressions I involuntarily received of the various types of those contemporary representatives of art, as well as the peculiarities of their manifestations. You must know that the three-brained beings of contemporary civilization not only adorn this present-day art with a false halo, and particularly during the last few decades, treat its so-called adepts as equals and imitate them in their exterior manifestations, but also, always and everywhere, unduly encourage and exalt them. And in these contemporary representatives of art themselves, who as regards their genuine essence are really almost nonentities, there appears of itself, without any being consciousness on their part, a false assurance that they are not like all the rest, but, as they call themselves, beings of a higher order. And the result is that in the common presence of these types, the crystallization of the consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabhava proceeds more intensively than in the presence of all the other three-brained beings there. Furthermore, in regard to these unfortunate three-brained beings, the surrounding abnormal conditions of ordinary being existence are already established in such a way that they are bound to be crystallized in their common presence and to become an inseparable part of their general psyche, those consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabhava they now call swaggering, pride, self-love, vanity, self-conceit, self-infatuation, envy, hate, touchiness, and so on and so forth. These enumerated consequences are particularly conspicuous and most rigidly crystallized in those representatives of art who are manipulators in the contemporary theaters. And this is because these manipulators, who are always interpreting the roles of certain of their fellow men with a being and significance far superior to their own, and who in themselves, as I have already said, are almost non-entities, gradually acquire with their wholly automatized reason a false view of themselves. Thus, with their quite automatized consciousness and completely nonsensical emotions, they feel themselves to be immeasurably superior to what they really are. I must confess, dear Hasin, that during our earlier visits to the surface of that planet of yours, and also at the beginning of our last sojourn there, although I was in many places and had various relations with those three-brained beings who have taken your fancy, I scarcely ever felt in my common presence a genuine impulse of being pity for the infinitely unhappy fate of these favorites of yours, caused by circumstances hardly depending on themselves at all. But toward the end of our sixth visit there, when certain of them were formed with the kind of inner presence now possessed by the representatives of almost all branches of that art of theirs, and when these newly arisen types, taking part in the process of ordinary being existence on an equal basis with others, happened to come into the field of perception of my sight with their exaggeratedly abnormal inner appreciation of themselves, they served as a shock for the arising in me of the impulse of pity, not only for them themselves, but for all your unfortunate favorites. Now try to turn your attention not to all three brain beings in general, nor to the other representatives of their contemporary art, but only to those who have become and have acquired the title of artists or actors. Although every one of them in his genuine essence is almost what is called a non-entity, that is, something utterly empty, but enveloped in a certain visibility, they have gradually acquired such an opinion of themselves by dint of repeating always and everywhere their favorite exclamations such as, "What genius, what talent, what a gift," and any number of other expressions as empty as themselves, that it is as if among similar beings around them, only they are of divine origin. Only they are almost gods. Now listen and try to transubstantiate in the corresponding parts of your common presence, for use at the proper time, my really very practical advice. This practical advice is that if for some reason you should have to exist, particularly in the near future, among the three brain beings of that planet Earth which has taken your fancy, and I say in the near future, because the presence of these favorites of yours, as well as all the external conditions of their ordinary being existence, frequently degenerate, and if you should engage, as is proper to every conscious three brain being, in some enterprise or other, having as its aim the welfare of beings around you, and whose fulfillment depends partly on them themselves, then in whatever community of contemporary civilization you may be, and whatever circles you may frequent in the interests of your work, if you should ever meet any of these terrestrial types, be very, very careful and take all necessary measures to keep on good terms with them. To see why you must be so careful with these recently arisen types, and in order that you may understand them better from every aspect, I must not fail to mention two other facts that have become quite clear. The first is that owing, as always, to the conditions of ordinary being existence abnormally established there, and also to the fictitiously inflated, maleficent idea of their famous art, these representatives of art, in the preconceived picturings and notions of the other three brain beings, gradually become crowned with an imaginary halo, and thereby automatically acquire such authority that any opinion they express is considered beyond dispute. And the second fact is that during their formation, these recently arisen types acquire an inner presence that permits them, quite unconsciously on their part, just as easily to become somebody's slave as through accidental outer conditions to become his worst enemy. That is why I advise you to be very much on guard, not to make enemies among them, so as not to stir up a lot of trouble for yourself in carrying out your affairs. Well then, our dear Hasin, the very chimus of my advice to you is that if indeed you should have to exist among the beings of the planet Earth and have dealings with these representatives of contemporary art. Never tell the truth to their face. May you be preserved from such a fate. Any truth makes these terrestrial types extremely indignant, and their animosity towards others almost always begins from this indignation. You must only say to their face the sort of things that tickle those consequences of the properties of the organ Kundabuffer, infallibly crystallized in them, which I have already enumerated, namely, envy, pride, self-love, vanity, lying, and so on. And as I noticed during my stay there, the means of tickling, which never fail to act on the psyche of these unfortunate favorites of yours, are the following. Suppose that one of these representatives of art has a face like a crocodile. Be sure to tell him he is a living picture of a bird of paradise. If one of them is as stupid as a cork, say that he has the mind of Pythagoras. If he has behaved in a certain matter like a super idiot, tell him that even that cunning fellow Lucifer could not have handled it better. Suppose that from his appearance you see signs that he has several terrestrial diseases from which he is rotting day by day. Then, with an expression of astonishment on your face, ask him, "Do tell me, please, what is your secret for always looking so fresh, like peaches and cream, and so on?" Only remember one thing, never tell the truth. Although you have to behave like this towards all beings of that planet, it is indispensable toward the representatives of all the branches of contemporary art. Having finished speaking, Ahun, smirking like a suburban matchmaker at the wedding of a client, or the proprietress of a Paris fashion house seated in an ultra-chic café, began rearranging the curls of his tail. Hasin looked at him with his usual smile, full of sincere gratitude, and said, "Many thanks to you, dear Haun, both for your advice and for your clarification of certain details of the strange psyche of the three-brained beings of that thoroughly ill-treated planet of our great universe." And then turning to Beelzebub, he addressed him in the following words. "Please, kind grandfather, tell me, is it really possible that all the intentions and efforts of those Babylonian learned beings have come to nothing, and that of all those fragments of knowledge then known on the earth, nothing whatever has reached the contemporary three-brained beings?"